Jared Demings.
Has joined the meeting.
All right, we have less than 1 minute. We're ready. It's 9:40. If everybody could turn your videos back on, that'd be great.
We hear you at OTV. You can all go at your leisure. We're going to start recording in just a moment, so we have an audio document.
Okay. If you haven't got your video back on, I'm just going to have to assume that you're there and just don't want your video on. So it's 9:40 a.m. We are going to convene the Central Florida Expressway Authority Board Workshop on May 14th, 2020. We're going to start this morning with the Pledge of Allegiance. If everyone would please silence your phones and rise, I would like to ask Ms. Herr to please lead us in the pledge. Please rise. Ms. Herr, need to unmute your mic.
Yep, I thought I did. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Again, the public had an opportunity to submit questions or comments regarding the board workshop this morning, and I'm going to ask Ms. Lamont to read any public comments that she may have.
No public comments received.
Okay. Ms. Herr, could you mute your mic again? Thank you. All right, so everybody should have received the draft of the 2021 Operations, Maintenance, and Administrative Budget and the information from 2021 through 2025 on the five-year work program. So at this time, we're just going to get right into it. I'm going to ask Mimi to go ahead and do the roll call for this morning since we are conducting this via a WebEx. It is not streaming on Orange TV, however, it is being recorded. An audio recording of the workshop will be available to the public to listen to at their convenience. Ms. Lamont, would you please call the roll?
Yes, Chairman. Chairman Brenda Perry?
Here.
Commissioner Brandon Harrington?
Here.
Mayor Jerry Demings?
Here.
Mayor Buddy Dyer?
Here.
Ms. Andrea Herr?
Here.
Mr. Jay Madeira?
Here.
Commissioner Sean Parks?
Here.
Commissioner Kurt Smith?
Present.
And Commissioner Betsy Vanderlei?
Present.
Thank you.
Okay, so we've already been through the rules this morning. And again, if you'd like to speak, try using your chat button. If that doesn't work, just simply raise your hand and I'll try to keep an eye out for it. So let's just move right into the agenda. This is being presented this morning by Ms. Lombard, our Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Presimo, the Chief of Infrastructure. So at this time, I'm going to just turn it over to them and let them start the workshop.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. Glenn and I are going to go over the fiscal year 21 operation, maintenance, and administration budget, and then the 21 through 25 work plan. CDM Smith did their annual report back in February with their projections, which are shown in blue on this graph. In March, when COVID-19 started to change everyone's daily habits, they relooked at their forecast, talk through different scenarios with us. The scenario that CDM Smith is recommending that we use for our planning is shown by the orange line on the graph. This scenario assumes that the depth of the decrease is 58% and that the duration will last 4 months with a 5-month recovery period. Then over the next 3 years, there will be a 10% decline with lasting effects through the entire forecast of 2.5%. We're going to be continuously looking at these numbers going forward, and we'll come back to the board halfway through the fiscal year to relook at the budget and make any necessary adjustments if necessary. And Hugh Miller is available now on the WebEx if anybody has any questions about his projections.
Okay, any questions from Mr. Miller? All right, seeing none, we'll just go ahead and keep on going through your presentation.
So CFX's expenses next year are allocated with 48% going towards capital projects, 36% paying debt service, and 16% going towards M&A, which supports the work plan. Our total revenue is down 12% over what we budgeted this current fiscal year and 1% over year-end projections. Overall, total expenses are down 3% over the current budget year and about even with where we are projecting to end the fiscal year at. So the operations budget over budget is down 3% due to the impact that COVID-19 has had on the travel industry. We're temporarily scaling back the visitor toll pass program at the airport. And then also, before we bring the final budget back in June, I'm also going to relook at how much we're budgeting for the interoperability fee that we pay SunPass due to traffic volumes being down. The maintenance budget is down 3% over the current budget year, but 9% higher than what we project we're going to spend this year. The largest differences are the motorist service patrol or the road ranger, maintenance of ITS infrastructure, and roadway and bridges maintenance. There is budget in all three of those areas for the addition of the Poinciana Parkway to our system. This year we did not have a full year, and so next year we had to budget for the full year. We need to replace 7 dynamic message signs on the Road Ranger's truck, and the ITS infrastructure contract is expiring early next year, and we're expecting the new contract to be higher than the existing one. But when we relook at the budget mid-year, we will be able to make adjustments based on the actual results of what the contract bids came in at. The administration budget is down 1% over current budget year due to some contract savings we were able to realize, and we're moving into fiscal year 21 with no changes to staffing. The proposed budget will allow us to end the year with a senior debt service ratio of 1.65. This is above our planning target of a 1.6 that gives us cushion over the board policy, which is 1.45. which also is above what our bond covenant state of being 1.2. We're going to monitor both revenues and expenses closely, and we'll come back to the board halfway through the year and make any necessary adjustments. We also have our one non-system road, the Golden Road, the Goldenrod Road extension that we also need to approve budget for. Our projected revenues on that roadway is $2.2 million, and the operations and maintenance expense is $459,325. Glenn will now go through the work plan.
Good morning. The 5-year work plan is an important tool used to effectively manage our system of improvements, enhancements, and rehabilitation projects. The work plan is updated annually and intended to be a living document. As such, it'll change as priorities are shifted, projects are reevaluated, and new projects are identified. The work plan development process begins with our 2040 master plan, which includes input from local governments, businesses, transportation agencies, CFX customers, and the CFX staff. Renewal and replacement projects and technology projects are also included in the draft work plan. A financial analysis is performed to determine the feasibility of the draft work plan. Through an iterative process, project schedules are adjusted as needed to meet available funding limits over a 15-year period. A fundable draft work plan is then presented to the board for review, and we will incorporate any comments. Following such, all revisions are made, and the final work plan will be presented to the board for approval. The fiscal year 2020 to 2024 five-year work plan was adopted by this board in June of 2019 and totaled $2.52 billion. Completing construction of the 408-417 interchange, the State Route 408 widening from 417 to Alafaya Trail, the 417 widening from Econ Trail to Aloma Avenue, and adoption of a preferred alternative for three new expansion projects all topped the list of major accomplishments over the previous year. The draft fiscal year 2021 to 2025 five-year work plan totals approximately $2.7 billion. The plan is divided into 10 categories, with the three largest expenditure categories being existing system improvements, system expansion projects, and renewal and replacement. As Lisa mentioned, our long-term revenue forecast was revised in April due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Prior to that revision, our original draft plan totaled approximately $3.2 billion. The construction phase of the Osceola Parkway extension has been moved out of the five-year period to offset the reduction in available revenues and balance the plan. The three largest expenditure categories make up approximately 89% of the total work plan funding distribution. Existing system improvements represent 49.4%, system expansion projects 34.4%, and renewal and replacement projects 5.2%. Capacity improvement projects, or widenings, make up the majority of the existing system improvements and account for approximately $1.26 billion of the total work plan expenditure. This draft plan contemplates six major widening projects on State Route 417, four on 429, four on 528, and one on State Route 538 or Poinciana Parkway. Construction of the 528 widening project at the north entrance to Orlando International Airport has recently started and includes a significant improvement to the 528-436 interchange. CFX's $230 million contribution to the I-4 Ultimate project was completed in fiscal year 2020. This draft plan provides continued consultant support for oversight of all construction activities on State Route 408 as part of the I-4 Ultimate project. Construction is currently underway on the 429 Stony Brook West Parkway interchange, and design will begin this summer on the State Route 408 Tampa Avenue interchange in downtown Orlando. As previously stated, potential expansion projects account for $934 million of the total expenditures in the draft plan. Over the five-year period, these funds include design, right-of-way, and construction phases of the Poinciana Parkway extension to 532 and the Lake Orange Expressway between US 27 and 429. Design, right-of-way, and partial construction of the State Route 414 Expressway extension. Design and right-of-way for the Osceola Parkway extension. Milling and resurfacing projects, completion of the toll system collection upgrade, and projects contained in the CFX's sustainability program account for an additional $120 million in the planned expenditures. There are 54 centerline miles of widening projects included in this plan over the five-year period. In addition, there are three expansion projects funded for construction in the draft work plan that total approximately nine additional centerline miles of limited access expressway in the region. Lastly, there are 22 centerline miles of milling and resurfacing projects included in the draft work plan over the five-year period. A complete list of all the projects was included in the plan, was provided as part of the backup to this board workshop. I'm going to pass the presentation back over to Lisa, and she's going to talk about funding for the plan.
So So the plan that Glenn just shared with you is fully fundable. It is going to require approximately issuance of $1.3 billion of additional debt over the next 5 years, which accounts for approximately 47% of the project expenditures in the work plan. We did the financial analysis out over 15 years instead of just the 5 years to make sure that we can finish all projects that we start. And also in our assumptions, we assume 30-year fixed rate bonds. And for the interest rates of the bonds, we took the 2-year average of the AAA municipal market data plus 50 basis points of credit spread based on our current credit ratings, and then an additional 50 basis points of cushion. Then on top of that, we added 25 basis points per year for each future issuance. As you can see by this graph, we clearly meet the 1.6 debt service ratio planning target out into all future years. Also, we are implementing a process where I will have to approve a construction project before it is put out to bid to make sure that we have enough cash to pay for it going forward. And I want to reiterate that we will be monitoring revenues and expenses closely, and we'll come back to the board midway through the year with any necessary adjustments. And with that, we're happy to take any questions that you may have.
Okay. Any questions up to this point?
Yes, Chair, I have a question, please.
If you could take down the presentation so that I can see all the board members. Okay. So somebody started talking, but I couldn't.
Yeah, Chairman Carey, if Jamie and Aaron want to talk, any questions?
Okay.
Okay to proceed?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I guess if we go back to revenue, the concern I have is if you think about the entirety of this fiscal year, we've got 8 months of strength in terms of revenue and traffic and volume, followed by March, kind of the half month drop off, April bottoming out, if you will, and then we've got 2 months to finish out the year of May and June, which who knows what's really going to happen, right? We're in uncharted territory in terms of the economy and travel, et cetera. So my concern is when you look at what the revenue presentation shows is 1% growth in next fiscal year versus this current fiscal year. And we spent a lot of time going through this during my briefing on Tuesday, and I've looked at it quite a bit since then. I just cannot get comfortable with a plan that lays out a 1% growth in revenue next fiscal year to this fiscal year, really based on, you know, 8 months of strength this year. Obviously 4 months are gonna trail off. But next year, next fiscal year, you know, we're going to be in an area of most likely, you know, a couple points around 20% unemployment. We're going to have just less and less travel and tourism is going to be depressed for an extended period of time in Central Florida. Who knows if the schools reconstitute in the fall. And we're going to have venues and gatherings that are restricted. You know, if you think about the Orlando Magic, are they even to have fans in the stands, right? And all those things, I think, really are going to depress travel and obviously impact our revenue profile. So, and I understand we've got these mitigating factors to review things tightly, revisit in 6 months, but I just think I'm really struggling to understand how we can assume 1% growth next fiscal year to this fiscal year. Because once, if we're not comfortable with revenue, then everything below there, from setting our expense profile, that service ratios, work plan, I just struggle then kind of the trickle down through the expense profile from a revenue profile. I'm struggling to believe it.
Okay, so Ms. Kelly, you want to respond to that?
Yes, yeah, so Hugh Miller is on the line, our traffic and revenue engineer, and I would like for Hugh Miller to address Mr. Madeira's concern.
Yeah.
All right, Mr. Miller.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, if you just identify yourself.
Yes, hi.
Audio record in the future.
Yes, my name is Hugh Miller. I'm with CDM Smith, the CFX traffic and earnings consultant. We have looked at the revenue. We probably should have spent a little more time showing you, Board Member Madeira, the way we came up with the forecast. But we have in the, as he said, we have in the current year, we have 8 months of strength, 1 month of a 20% reduction, the next month down a lot, like 50%, say. The next month after, we're up near 30 and 40%. Our forecasts are predicted worse. We predicted the bottom lasting 4 months. So we're currently 20% higher than what our forecast is based on. And we can't tell for sure the future, but we're predicting that this would be a 2-year impact. And we think it's a reasonable place to start. If you'd like, I could at another time. I don't know if I'm not prepared to fill a screen full of slides, but I would be happy to show exactly how we came up with those numbers.
I think it would be helpful, the presentation that I saw, your complete presentation. I don't know if other board members were briefed on that or not, but certainly it should be distributed to all the board members. But we won't be taking any action on this until June. So if you get that distributed this afternoon to all board members so that they can kind of see what the assumptions were. And then, you know, we are in an unprecedented time. We really have no idea about the recovery. I think we will have a little more information in June, hopefully. We'll kind of see how things are starting to open up. And, you know, but if you recall, I mean, our revenues have been above projection for most of the year up until this point. So I have to believe that, you know, at some point we will recover it. There will be some new, you know, way of travel and those type of things, but people are still going to travel. The airport will open back up. I mean, that's where we've seen some of our biggest revenue drops are at the, you know, at the toll plazas close to Disney and the airport and those type of things. So that's having a huge impact, not only on the economy as a whole, but on toll revenue as well. So, the other thing that I think would be wise, I know we've talked about this at the county, is we always look at mid-year. And so we're talking about looking at, you know, looking at this again 6 years and 6 months to see if we need to make any adjustments. And I would say that we probably need to look at it quarterly for the next year or two until we are totally out of this and we're not seeing any impacts at all. But I'd like to hear what the other board members have to say. Commissioner Vanderlei, I saw that you had asked to chat, so I'll call on you next.
Thank you, Chair. Couple things, and I'm certainly not, I don't have the financial credentials that Mr. Madeira has, but there are some kind of instinctive concerns that I have. One is that this is not a market adjustment due to some imbalance like the housing bubble or something like that. So we don't really have a comparable to look at in terms of, you know, performance in the past of something similar and how the economy is going to recover or not recover. And then the other concern that I have is the control is really out of our hands. The control really comes down to the spread of a disease and or the presence of some kind of an inoculation against the disease. And so I don't know how we kind of project out for any period of time with those kinds of variables that aren't typical in any kind of an economic scenario that we've run in the past. So I would be supportive of looking at this much more tightly, quarterly, you know, that type of thing, because I just don't think we have a go-by, some kind of a map of somebody who's been down this road before, and so the economy is going to behave in this manner. So I just want to voice my kind of layman's concerns about what we don't know and projecting, you know, against that. So I just think we need to look at it much more tightly and much more often.
Okay, and Commissioner Vanderlei, as our treasurer, certainly I'm sure we will keep a very close eye on it. But again, I think, you know, if we just plan on looking at it quarterly, spending a little more time on the agenda quarterly in order to just make sure where we're at. And if we need to change our work program, then obviously we'll have to change our work program. And they've already made some of those adjustments, as you heard, when you went through the work program. So I have a couple other people that would like to speak. So I'm going to call on Ms. Herr, and then I'll go back to Mr. Madera.
So 2 points.
Could you mute your mic, Mr. Madera, until it's your turn?
Thank you, Commissioner Carey. This is Andrea Herr. I have 2 points. One is that I'd like to compliment the team for putting into place the additional control of Lisa signing off on any construction projects. I think that's a good discipline in terms of where we are. Jay, for you, I would love to hear your perspective on where you think it should be. I did express concerns during my briefing as well, although they weren't as probably well-founded as yours or as strong as yours. So I think we would benefit from understanding that. And I would throw in one more thought that I continue to bring to the table, and that is that as I-4 becomes more travelable, I still think there's an impact there. Although the studies don't indicate it, I would tell you, certainly in my traffic pattern, that's a reality. We are doing everything we can from this side of town to deviate around that system. So I have concerns as well. But Jay, I'd really love to hear where you think it should be.
Okay, Mr. Madera?
Yes, so Jay Madera speaking. So Mr. responded to that. I think just philosophically, we have to plan for a decline year. So I don't see a scenario where I think it's prudent to plan for a 1% increase or an increase in traffic volumes and revenue year over year at all. I think all of the factors that we know as of today, which is, you know, very likely scenario that the nation as a whole is at a 20% unemployment factor, give or take a few points either way. And Central Florida obviously is going to be in that range or thereabout as well once we get through the next few months. Who knows how quickly we come out of that in terms of unemployment levels coming down. So obviously that depresses discretionary income for folks to travel around, whether folks are local or nationally and internationally coming into Central Florida travel-wise. Unemployment obviously impacts folks moving around and getting to work and traveling the roadways. So I just, when you look at that and then social gatherings and arts gatherings of venues will be depressed for a while. I just think you have less activity levels across the board. And I think from our standpoint, revenue sets the tone in terms of operating expense profile, work plan. I just think I feel it's more prudent to plan, embrace for a decline year over year in terms of our revenue profile when you look at all those factors. I don't know if that's, 5% down, 10% down. I think, if we have a monthly trend analysis that we can look at and drill down into that between now and next month when we vote on the budget and the work plan, I think it's more prudent to really, time will tell. But I do think it's more likely than not to have a decline year over year in traffic volume and revenue based on overall activity levels across the board for multiple factors.
Okay. Others have some thoughts on this. Even before we got into this pandemic, I mean, obviously our economy was reeling and, we were at zero interest rates. We're getting into negative interest rates. You can't place your money anywhere. And through all of that, we didn't see really an impact to the traveling public. It's hard to plan. It's hard to know. We're in a situation, this is uncharted, as you said earlier. And so I think that they are proposing a conservative approach. If the majority of the board would be more comfortable with keeping the budget flat, certainly we can look and see what that looks like. I think we need to understand what our alternatives are based on what we're doing. And again, I think that even if we had to review it monthly and not quarter, I mean, we review our income obviously monthly, but we could take a close look every quarter and see if it continues to trend in a downward fashion, then the adjustments obviously to the work plan would have to happen. but I'd like to see some scenarios to say, okay, if we are down 2%, you know, 5%, whatever, this is what the work plan would look like. These are the projects that would have to be pulled out, so that the board is going into it with a lot of facts and not just what if the sky falls. We really have no idea how this is going to happen. You know, I'm not one of those who is afraid. You know, I lived when the Hong Kong flu came through, 100,000 people died in this country. You know, it hit the United States in December of 68, and in 69 we had Woodstock. So, I think people are anxious to get back out. And I think that what's holding them back is probably some of the government regulation and guidelines. And of course, everybody's being conservative. We don't want to have a sick country. We don't want to have something else happen. And certainly we don't want people to die from a disease. So I think that we have to plan as if there is going to be a recovery. I think conservative is always good for me. I'm probably the most conservative, thinker on our board at the county, because I know what it's like to, you know, go through hard times. And so I like to be prepared. And I know that all of you do as well. I think the idea of looking at the monthly trend analysis is an excellent one. And so maybe between now and the next board meeting, that you can run those numbers and then get with every board member, distribute the information, and give everybody an opportunity to look at it before we get to the June meeting where we're going to be asked to adopt a budget. So I'd like to hear from all the board members your thoughts. If you want to look at this 1% growth that's being the reduction that Mr. Miller is proposing, the slight decrease, or if you want to keep the budget flat, because obviously if we're making a different decision, the budget has to be prepared before it gets to us next month. We may even need to have another workshop in a couple of weeks if we can't give good direction today, just to make sure that they are able to get with us. I think statutorily we have to have a budget adopted in June. Is that correct, Mr. Rodriguez?
That is correct, yep. A budget needs to be approved for the
right.
fiscal year.
So, right. Okay, so Ms. Herr had her hand up to speak again, and then Commissioner Vanderlei. I'll come take you in that order, and others, just raise your hand. Mr. Parks, I stick at you. Okay, so Ms. Herr?
Yes, thank you, Commissioner Carey, Andrea Herr. So two thoughts. One is I do spend my days interacting with employers of all sorts across a span of several states. And one of the things that I would weigh in with is that there is considerable movement underfoot to change the way we do business long term, not just relational to this. The concept of running a Teams meeting as opposed to pulling five people out on a road and running them together to sit in a room together is changing, and it's rapid. And I think it's going to be accelerated for two reasons. One is most commercial employers are suffering in some form or fashion with a revenue decrease and figuring out how to manage that. And the second is it's simply more productive, and we figured that out. And even the old people on the team can figure out this technology and move on and get stuff accomplished. So I do think I was talking about me. I do think that there's a long-term change to traffic patterns that happens with this. I support the idea of, I think, flat is an aggressive budget. Just to give you my perspective, I think we have to show a reduction as well. I think that is the most conservative stance that we could take with this. I would look to Board Member Madera for what that number is. And I do support the concept of adding different playbooks that say, if it's this, this is what comes back onto the work plan, as opposed to what has to come off of the work plan. I like the idea of coming in conservative and then adding things back into the work plan as opposed to taking things out. I think that's just a more difficult position to take with regard to the future boards.
That's right.
Okay. Next, we're going to hear from Commissioner Vanderlei.
Thank you, Chair. And I would echo what Ms. Kerr said. I would love to see some scenarios that show a 2% decline, a 5% decline, what that looks like kind of playing out with less revenue. I don't have confidence that we're going to recover in the same way. I think that a lot of companies have found that they can adequately conduct business with people remotely, and that's going to take people off of our infrastructure. We've got a lot of uncharted, and we've got a whole lot of supposition about what may change. But I think in light of that, we need to be extremely careful and conservative moving forward so we don't find ourselves a year down the road in a bad place without being able to meet obligations and that type of thing. So I'm just going to echo that. And I'm certainly not the financial genius in the room, so I'll defer to those that are in terms of what that decline might look like. But I certainly think we need to at least look at a couple of scenarios of what that might look like and have that in the hopper as we go through this process.
Okay. And obviously we'd like to see those ahead of time again. So Mr. Presimo, if you and Ms. Lombard could work on several scenarios of what it would look like to get those out as soon as possible. So next I'm going to go to Commissioner Parks and then Mr. Madeira. As others raise their hand, I'll look to that. Mr. Arrington, I see you as well. You'll be after Mr. Madeira.
Thank you, Chair. My gut tells me that, you know, as Americans, we're gonna get back into this, perhaps I hope quicker, sooner than later, but that's just a gut feeling. And some of that's a lot of anecdotal about what I hear in my county. We don't really travel too much. So this is just my perspective from the county. I have immense respect for Board Member Madeira and his opinion on this. I like what staff's approach is though. I think they were very conservative. They did factor in, as I understand, just immense population growth, this great population growth that I think is going to continue to happen in Florida. So yeah, we might receive 5% reduction based off of what business is doing and having more WebEx meetings and having more Zoom meetings, that kind of thing. I know that's gonna happen a lot, or a lot more at least, but I think that would probably, in a sense, maybe just provide some relief to the infrastructure needs from the population growth that's going to come to Florida. Because Florida is just, we have a beautiful day today. I mean, everybody knows how good the weather is here. You've heard this before. This is just an attractive place that will continue to be that way. And we're going to just have this great population growth that I think is going to continue. I like the conservative approach of, I think it was Commissioner Vanderlei said, maybe look at those different scenarios on a monthly basis. So I would say, all that being said, I would keep staff's approach, and I would move forward with that, but on a monthly basis, let's look at these different scenarios. So it's just, as I told my fellow commissioners in Lake County, I said, because we're looking at the budget on a monthly or a weekly basis, like you all probably are. I said, let's not overreact or in one way or the other. Let's just look at this on an every meeting basis. So we have to do that. If we have to look at this on a every meeting basis, then conservatively, then I would be for that. I am for that.
All right, Mr. Parks, thank you. We'll get back to Mr. Madeira. Mr. Parks, thank you for your comments. And after Mr. Madeira, we'll hear from Commissioner Arrington.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner. This is Jay Madeira again, just to follow up on some of the questions or points from Ms. Kerr. And first, one clarifying point. So I think, Commissioner, you mentioned human alerts decline, but actually right now the budget as presented, I believe, is $440 million of revenue, or 1% increase next fiscal year versus this current fiscal year. So right now what's been presented to us is an increase in revenue, which again, I for the record, don't feel comfortable supporting based on all the factors we've all discussed. Ms. Harry mentioned talking with different employers and, you know, fundamentally changing the way they do business in terms of employees coming to the office or not. Totally agree. I can tell you, working for a large employer, we're doing exactly that. We've invested in technology. The technology has proved
proven out during this extended work from home scenario for a lot of people. And the different large employers we talk to on a daily basis and a lot of customers, we're all planning for, you know, varying scenarios of rotation back into the office for an extended period of time and maybe permanently. Not sure if that means 10%, 15%, or 25%, but it will impact the way everyone travels to and from the airport, in fact. A lot of folks looking to travel a lot less because of this and the improvement in technology. So I do think it will be a sustained impact. Again, we don't know. Don't want to overpanic to Chairman Commissioner Park's comments. Don't want to overreact one way or the other. But I do think based on everything we know now and all the things that we don't know, the prudent move to make is to plan for a decrease year over year. And then, as Commissioner Vanderlei mentioned, is to lay out the different levers that we have so that if things come back, we know what kind of goes back into the work plan, or if things continue to decrease, what are the first things that pull out of the work plan? I know the last couple, you know, expansion projects we looked at, they were very close in terms of the financial feasibility. Some of those things may not, you know, make the cut if we look at updated numbers. So I think, you know, support everything the last couple of folks have mentioned in terms of looking at the different levers that we have and pushing forward or pulling back based on traffic volumes and revenues we move through the year.
Okay, so I'm going to go to Commissioner Arrington, then Mayor Deming. Mayor, I didn't see your hand on my side of what I can see on the participants. I didn't see the hand, little hand pop up, but I got your message when you did the chat. So Commissioner Arrington and then Mayor Deming.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner Arrington here. Great comments. I love that our board is trying to take the most conservative approach possible. I'm probably going to land more with Commissioner Parks on some of his viewpoints on where we're currently at and the massive amount of growth that we're having here in Central Florida. And one of my big concerns is when we look at infrastructure as a whole throughout Central Florida, we have to recognize local governments are going to fall further behind in their upcoming budgets in order to provide expansion projects or new capacity projects as well. And I think you're going to still have such a demand and need for expressways for us to be able to move throughout our community. I think the idea of looking at it monthly and for the opportunity to readjust, and as some other members have said, trying to see what those impacts would look like. But I right now, I'm more in line with, like I said, with Commissioner Parks, and I think our chairman as well, with the 1% increase based on just our population increase and the amount of folks from the Northeast who are looking to get out of New York and New Jersey and start heading our way. So, but I'm open to the idea of looking at it monthly. And if we've got to reposition ourselves for a major decline in revenue, then obviously we need to know what that looks like and how it impacts the system as a whole. And that's all I have, Madam Chair. Thank you.
All right. Mayor Deming.
All right. Thank you. I am more inclined to take a conservative approach. And I say that because we commissioned Dr. Sean Snaith, an economist, to take a look at the projections for revenues as well as other economic indicators. And I believe that we're going to be in for the a long haul in terms of the high unemployment. And I believe that that's going to have a significant impact. What the economists have shared with me is that we're not looking at a V-shaped decline. We're looking at more of a U-shape. It's going to take some time for us to fully recover from this pandemic. And we're all, I think, impacted by the fact that the recovery is tied to a health care crisis, and it's going to be a while before we have a vaccine that is created and widely available for immunizations. And because of that, I believe that for perhaps another year, we're going to see some negative impacts on our traditional socialization processes. we are going to experience a new normal for the foreseeable future and how people interact. And I believe that as long as we have high unemployment, you're going to see fewer people taking advantage of paid transportation networks where there's a toll involved in that. So I think for me, realistically, I believe that we're going to see our numbers depressed for some period of time. And certainly when we talk about a year-to-year budget, I believe that within the next 12 months, we're going to have to make some reductions. And how much of a reduction, I just think that we're being perhaps a bit overly optimistic about where our economy is going to go. Yes, we're growing, but I do not believe that in order for people to move here and what have you, they still have to have the funds to be able to move and the jobs to be able to go to. And we're going to see not just our tourism sector impacted. When we look at our major tourist attractions, they are planning for, I think, a depressed attendance records. Many of them had major, here in Orange County, they had major construction projects expanded, and they've all told me that they are delaying the target dates for those construction projects by at least a year. So I think that that's going to create a significant challenge for our Central Florida economy. So I just believe that seriously taking a look at our fiscal health, we should take some measures to early on to perhaps use a measured approach to reduce the budget where we can. And if we recover faster than any of the experts think, so be it, we will be able to make an adjustment. But I just think that from a planning perspective, I'm much more of a fiscal conservative. And here within Orange County, we are taking action early to avoid the potential that we will have to lay off employees, et cetera. And I do believe that given what the pandemic has done, it has taught us that you can operate by telecommuting more and doing various other things that I believe is going to be a new normal in how business meetings occur, et cetera, how travel will occur. So I believe that we are probably underestimating how the business model will change in the foreseeable future, much like during the era of the 9/11, security in our airports, seaports, et cetera, changed in the world forever. And I think that you're going to see some things that are going to change in the world forever as a result of this pandemic. And it took us several years after 9/11 to recover. And so all of us were around then. You understand what I'm saying when I say it took us years to recover. That was not a quick recovery effort. And I think that this pandemic is far worse in terms of the total economic impact on our region and our nation as well. So I will support a very conservative, fiscal conservative budget going forward.
Okay, I have Commissioner Vanderlei, then Mr. Madera. I still would like to hear from Mayor Dyer and Commissioner Smith. Those are two that we haven't heard from yet. So I'm going to go to Commissioner Vanderlei, Mr. Madera, and then I'll look to see if Commissioner Smith or Mayor Dyer have something to add to this. And I'm keeping notes, so I'll try to summarize it when everybody gets done. Go ahead, Mr. Commissioner Vanderlei.
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate it. One of the things that I'd like to see, and maybe I have a little insight into this since my husband's a home builder, is I'd love to see what those new housing sales look like, because while our, you know, our climate is undeniably attractive, if someone can telecommute and not have to sell a home in some other state near family and yet get a job in this economy, I think that that's going to have a significant impact, because clearly if they're telecommuting for a job in Orange County from Kentucky, they're not going to be driving on our roads. So I think we need, I'd love to see us tie some of these projections to some of the metrics like new housing sales and that type of thing, and what that trend has looked like in the short term. And then, Chair, I would just add that perhaps we do need to have another workshop in 2 weeks with some of these things wrapped in, so that we all have a better handle on what it is we're looking at and voting for when the time comes as well. So those are my final thoughts, and I'll hush up now.
Okay, I'm going to go to Mr. Madeira, and then I see that Mr. Parks has raised his hand. So, Mr. Madeira.
Thank you, Commissioner. It's Jay Madeira. A policy question before I do that. Just wanted to thank Mayor Demings for his comments. I think all absolutely spot on, and with different political affiliations and completely aligned. So I love that we've got bipartisan support in terms of the fiscal conservatism of the Expressway Authority. I think it's wonderful. The policy question I have is, do we by policy have to adopt an annual budget, or can we do something shorter like a 3-month, a quarterly budget because of these uncertain times, or a 6-month budget? Are we bound by policy to an annual budget?
So this is Lisa. So the bond covenants state that we do have to adopt an annual budget by July 1st. And if one is not adopted by July 1st, we just stick with the existing budget that was in place for the prior fiscal year.
Okay, which doesn't work. Okay.
Right. So we definitely need to take some action. The good news is that you can amend the budget anytime during the budget year. So again, I'll try to summarize when we get to the end about how we'll go about moving that forward after the budget gets adopted based on some of the comments that were made, and see if we can come to some consensus. Okay, Commissioner Parks.
There we go. Okay, I was just gonna say, Board Member Madeira, that was an excellent question. It's what I wanted to ask, because again, it goes to my comments about not overreacting one way or the other. This is all, economically, it's all psychology, right? It's pretty much 90% feeling and emotion. That's the way our economy works, comfort and how we feel and whether situations are safe. And this is unprecedented. So I would urge caution on the messaging coming from a huge agency like we are, CFX. I really like the approach of doing this baby steps, if you will, a month at a time. That was a great question. We have to obviously act by July 1st. If there was a way to do it periodically where we could adjust our budget, that might send the message that we're just looking at this on a quarterly basis. We're not forecasting some doom and gloom, because that's the messaging that could come out of this. And it may be that way. And I want to be very clear that I could be off on my optimism. I see people from up north retiring. They're still going to retire. They're coming to Lake County, my county. They're coming to other counties, probably more, even as much or more. And I just don't, I'm not sure I see that stopping. I see people internationally moving here, or at least buying, investing in real estate here, and that's maybe where some of this data will help us over the next couple of weeks. And I could be off on it, the housing and the international investment that's still occurring that I think I hear in our economy here regionally. And so I just like to hear that. My message is, what I'm trying to say is just, let's just look at this as periodically, make sure that period is, we're looking at it monthly, and we can make the adjustments, and the message on that, messaging to the whole region might be a little more measured in a sense by doing that. And it won't be that overreaction one way or the other. That makes sense.
Okay, Commissioner Smith. You're next, Commissioner Smith, then Mayor Dyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I've heard an awful lot of intelligent comments, and it's obvious that most people, if not everyone, is coming down on the side of conservatism. I am old enough that I went through the Asian flu of 1957 when we had a population of 170 million, which is roughly half of what it is today. I believe it killed about 120,000 people. I was only in third grade, but it was pretty much a non-event. I didn't know it even existed. So I reached out to my sisters, who are 10 and 13 years older than me. In fact, they were both married at the time, and they didn't remember it either. And then, Madam Chair, you mentioned Woodstock, and I don't know if that was the summer of 68 or 69, but obviously I was around then also. I was a college kid and kind of crazy like college kids were then. And it was also a non-event. I don't remember anything about Hong Kong flu. So what is the difference? My perception is the difference is that in those times, we didn't have a media that was centered on creating fear in the public. So that for me is the difference maker. So going forward, I think that we really need to proceed cautiously. None of us have a crystal ball, as has been mentioned several times already, that we are in uncharted territory. So I don't think we can harm ourselves by being conservative. And I think that allows us a lot more latitude if things do change in one direction or another. Thank you.
Okay. Before I go to Mayor Dyer, just if Ms. Lamont, if you could just note that at 10:35, Mayor Demings left the meeting. He has signed out of the meeting. So just for your record.
Thank you.
Yep. Mayor Dyer.
Madam Chair, I thought I had my hand up in the participant room, but I think I'll just now on use methodology.
Yeah, it's not showing up on my side and the participants. That's the problem I'm having.
No problem. This has been a great conversation. So what we're trying to do is project revenues for next year, right? It's not actually creating the budget. It's how much money are we going to have to spend, and I'm not sure that any of us really know. And I think staff did a pretty good job on being conservative. They took three approaches to begin with and took the most conservative approach. I'm comfortable being more conservative than that as well. But what I would also like to see is let's take a couple of different scenarios, maybe what the staff has prepared right now and something more conservative. We haven't tossed out what that's going to be, whether it's simply flat or a reduction in revenue. But I'd like to see what the expenditure side of the equation changes based on what we're going to use for revenue projections for next year, so that we understand what we're doing to the budget by reducing the revenue projection. And I do favor that we look at this every month, because during the course of this pandemic, every 24 hours, every 48 hours, it seems like conditions have changed. So in a month, the whole world could change again.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor, for those comments, and I couldn't agree more. I mean, it is ever-changing from even the morning to the afternoon, as you well know, the information that you're having to deal with in your own community. Anybody else want to comment before I try to summarize kind of where I think we need to go with this? Okay, Ms. Kelly and Mr. Smith, could you mute your mic? And Mayor Dyer, could you mute yours as well? And I'll recognize Laura Kelly right now.
Just a thought, Hugh Miller also created two worst case scenarios that revenue forecasts actually were worse than the one we went with today. So I might suggest that our team build proposed budgets around the other two. And both of those scenarios contemplated a second wave of coronavirus. And then when we come back together in 2 weeks, we'll have two other scenarios to look at as well as this.
Okay, so my question for Ms. Lombard would be, what I've heard is, and so if I'm not getting this right, just board members raise your hand or do something so that I can recognize you. So what I've heard is the majority of the board, almost everyone, really wants to take a much more conservative approach, look at several different scenarios. That would be a flat scenario and probably a 2 and a 5% scenario in reductions. So I don't know, and this is Ms. Lombard, I'm going to come back to you and ask you to tell us what the Mr. Miller's other two projections were at decreased revenue. But from the numbers that I heard, we would like to see what's the impact at a 2% and a 5% reduction. If somebody wants to see something deeper than that, then we just need to come back and talk about it. Once we get that information, and the first thing you need to do is get Mr. Miller's complete report distributed today to everyone so that they can see kind of how the budget that you were presenting today got put together. And then particularly for at least the next quarter, I would say we look at this monthly and there'll be a time on the agenda to take a deep dive and look at what's going on, a presentation by our CFO. And, you know, we know, and Ms. Lombard will know in advance what the revenues are looking like. So if she sees that it's off more than some, let's try to set some kind of metric. If it's off more than so much percent, we spend a little more time talking about it, because then you're going to have to, you're going to start impacting what are you doing with the work program. So I, you know, it's going to require a little more time on the part of the board members as we kind of work through this and see what's going to happen. So monthly discussions at the board meetings on the agenda, time allowed for that to happen. And like I said, if the staff at the next meeting will set some kind of metric as far as if revenues appear to be off more than X percent, then, you know, the action will be, what are you taking out of the work program at that time? So, you know, our projects are big. And so it's not like, you know, if you're off a couple hundred thousand dollars, you can just pick something out, it, because our projects are so large in scale, and some of them are already in the hopper. So, you know, how is that going to be impacted? And I think that's what the board is asking to see. If I haven't described that properly, raise your hand. And if there's something else that somebody wants to see that I didn't pick up on, then I'd like to recognize that. Okay, Commissioner Parks, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Just a very quick question. So this is our budget's due in July. The question is how often can we do budget amendments, even though we can't, we have to have the budget document finished and approved?
Okay. Unless your rules are different, and I'll look to Mr. Rodriguez to correct me, but I mean, you could make a budget amendment at any board meeting, just like you can at the county. So, again, you know, we've always looked at mid-year at Seminole County, and we're talking about looking at our budgets quarterly. And again, people that are watching the revenue streams, if they see that something is extremely off, then you, even if you have to have a special meeting to make an adjustment, there's nothing that would prevent us from being able to do that. So the other thing that I heard is another workshop. So let's, I flipped over my calendar 2 weeks from today, which is then we'd have 2 weeks till our board meeting would be May 28th. So if while we're wrapping this up, if people could be looking at their calendars just to see if May 28th works for everybody to have a 9 o'clock workshop on the budget. And if that doesn't work, then we'll try to figure out another time, but we'll need time to post the workshop. So we'll need to get a date secured here pretty quick. So comments, Commissioner, you're good. Okay, I see Commissioner Mayor Dyer is good. Ms. Herr is good. Commissioner Vanderlei, Mr. Madeira, everybody else good on the 28th. Commissioner Smith, you're good. Commissioner Parks, you're good on the 28th, 9 o'clock. All right. So for the people that are not on, Mr. Arrington, is your calendar good on the 28th at 9 o'clock for another workshop?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So that's everybody except Mayor Deming, and hopefully he'll be able to provide some time. I'll get with his office as soon as we're off. Actually, Mimi, you can just get with them and let them know that we've scheduled another workshop for 9 o'clock on May 28th. And so is staff clear on the direction of the board? You're going to bring us three scenarios. You're going to circulate Hugh Miller's report today. And going forward, at least for the next quarter, every agenda will have additional time for budget review.
Yes, we're clear.
Okay. And did I pick up the right numbers? You want to see a flat scenario, a 2% reduction, and a 5% reduction. Is that the majority of the board? Anybody looking for a deeper dive than that? Okay, well, let's see what that looks like, and we can always go back to the drawing board if we need to. All right, so anything else for the good of the order? All right, seeing none, I think we have clear direction. If staff has any questions, don't hesitate to reach out, but we will stand adjourned from this workshop. Stay safe.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's good seeing everybody.
Likewise.